Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Greetings, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. As a creative entrepreneur, I hear a lot about the importance of solving problems for people. Be a problem solver. Find problems you enjoy working on. Meet people who have the problem you can solve and help them. The more I reflect on this idea of being a problem solver, the more I see the lack in my ability to think this way. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to explore 5 types of problems and how to solve them. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/231. I'll be honest, sometimes I have a really hard time answering this question. What problems do you solve for your customers? It can be hard to take the creative pursuits that I do and look at them with kind of problem-solving eyes. Does that mean that I'm too close to my craft, that I'm selfish and that I want it to be about me and that I don't have any empathy for my clients and the things that they struggle with? Am I disconnected to my clients and the needs they have? Am I the only creative entrepreneur that struggles to put their craft into problem-solution language? So many questions this morning. But as I think about this idea of solving problems, I think about a video shoot that I had yesterday as a continuation of a video shoot that I had in December. And when I look at this video shoot, I start seeing 5 different types of problems and ways that I really worked through to solve them. And so in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to walk through the 5 types of problems that I'm seeing, how I'm solving them, and how I'm really thinking of applying them to future projects. First is preparation and anticipation. What's interesting is I think about video shoots in particular, but you can apply this to any creative pursuit, whether it's, you know, website building, developing, you know, graphic design, identity, is there's never going to be perfect scenarios. Inevitably, something happens. But the more you can prepare and anticipate for future problems, the better off you're going to be in being able to handle what comes your way. So, an example, yesterday in my video shoot, I was filming 2 women teaching their material in a living room that had windows all around. I would say 3 of the 4 sides of the room had windows of some sort. And what's interesting is if I had gone ahead of time and scoped out the room, I might have been able to anticipate future problems such as where is the sun going to be in the morning versus the afternoon? Would things have changed if I knew there would have been so many windows without shades? I probably would have had more reflectors or ways to block the sun. Think about website development. If you can anticipate the needs of the client, how willing are they going to be to develop content when they say they're going to develop their own content? If you kind of know ahead of time that you're going to have to dive into developing content, you might be able to make that part of your scope of work as opposed to reacting to the problem when it comes up. So I think preparation anticipation is how to plan ahead so that you can have the tools necessary to respond when necessary. So it's about preparing for response, being proactive, not necessarily being caught off guard when problems inevitably arise. Being prepared is about anticipating what the problems might be. But again, you don't know entirely what all the problems are going to be. But the more that you can plan, the more that you can strategize about what's going to happen, you can be prepared. Second, in the moment. When we are in the moment doing our work, there are always going to be problems that arise. Like I said, I had a great set. There were a lot of windows with beautiful light. I had lights set up. And then I look up, and the lights are reflecting in the window that's behind the talent. It was a beautiful composition, but I didn't want two giant softboxes reflecting in the window. So I had to get into problem-solving mode. I just start moving them around until they disappear from that reflection. Now, that window would be a problem later on because as the light changed, the ambient light of the sun changing through the sky, it illuminated me and the camera, so I had to minimize the light falling on that so that it didn't appear in the reflection as much. And as the sun moved position, I had to start flagging the sun, blocking the sun and the ways that it was hitting the talent. So when you are in these moments of solving problems, you are relying upon two things. The first thing that you're relying upon is just your ability to even notice that there's a problem. The more that you can start being observant of what's going on, the more you're going to be able to respond in the moment. And the second thing that you have to rely upon is your desire to do whatever at the moment to solve the problem. I had to be willing to stop and say, we've got a problem. The mic died in the middle of one of the takes. And I'm like, all right, I got a problem. I have to stop you. And then it was the battery. So I had to change the battery. So in these moments, noticing that there's a problem, but also being willing to do whatever it takes in the moment to solve. I mean, I was using lids of the tub, reflectors, the case that the reflector was in, umbrellas, anything that I could to make sure that the sun was not affecting the subjects in the shot. The third type of problem is doing the work. A lot of times people don't like how they appear on camera. If people aren't actors, whether professional or aspiring, there's always going to be something they dislike about how they show up on camera. So when you're doing your work, the problems that arise are often with the perception, if not the actual quality of the work. Let's start with perception. When people are showing up on camera, it's the perception of how they're showing up. And so sometimes you just got to show them what they look like and be able to talk to them about what they're liking or not liking. When you're designing an identity, being able to discuss the perception of what you're providing them is incredibly important. And talking about the actual quality of the work. Maybe when you're presenting a rough draft, the client is expecting something of higher quality than maybe you are doing as part of your process. So in these moments of actually doing the work, the problem solving is less, I think, about the technical aspects and more about asking questions, listening, offering solutions, and really having a conversation about what is going on. Because when you're doing the work, you have more of an opportunity to work through problems that could be more expensive later on than when you're in the moment. Fourth, when clients aren't satisfied, so let's say you've presented solutions, rough drafts, fine drafts, even final drafts, this question of how do you satisfy clients? I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere, but I don't really want to make a joke about it because when clients aren't satisfied, you have a few options. And this is where problem solving is incredibly important. You need to ask questions. You need to see how you can be a problem solver with that dissatisfaction, and you need to be focused on solutions. Because depending upon who you read, some people think that firing people is appropriate. But I think that's the last thing that you need to do, because more often than not, 9 times out of 10, it's a perception problem. And you need to figure out why they are responding to this work in a way that they are. For me, in my experience, when a client is dissatisfied is because their expectation didn't align with reality. So did I miscommunicate? Did I not communicate enough? Did the solution not meet the problem that they tried to communicate that I didn't understand? Again, in this moment, you need to ask questions, a lot of them, to understand what the problem actually is and what solutions will satisfy the expectations. Because as creative entrepreneurs, we need to be problem solvers. We need to make sure that when we are presenting solutions to problems, in every step of the way, that our clients are satisfied, because they're the ones that are going to not only pay the bills today, but they can pay the bills in the future with the referrals that they give, the recurring work that they provide. The fifth type of problem that I start seeing is the one that I think a lot of people are saying that we need to understand, and that's the recurring problems. We need to be able to identify recurring problems so that we can reveal two things. The first is that a recurring problem might reveal a weakness in what we do, or it's a weakness in our process. Maybe it's a weakness in how we are communicating, how we are doing our work. And so by identifying patterns, we are able to really root out problems that we might have in the future. The more we can work to eliminate those weaknesses in our processes and our products, the more we are able to then focus on the second thing that recurring problems identify, is that it's a glimpse into the struggles that people actually have. So in this kind of analysis of the different types of problems, one of the things that I realize is that people are less confident on camera. The question becomes, is it because of something I'm technically doing, or is it in response to a physical feature, maybe something that they've learned as a child about themselves? Maybe it's something that people have told them over the years. And so if this is an ongoing recurring problem, this is something that I am curious about. How can I be more responsive to people and how they appear confident on camera? And how can that be part of my directing style? How can that be part of the problem that I solve? And so in the identification of recurring problems, you can reveal weaknesses, and then you can reveal actual problems that you might want to solve. What's interesting as I think about all this, there are more types of problems, inevitably. I mean, the world is full of problems that we can solve. Some of them are real, some of them are make-believe, some of them we don't even know. And so just get curious about the problems that you are seeing when you're preparing, when you're in the moment, when you're doing the work, when clients aren't satisfied, and look for those recurring problems that you inevitably are driven to solve, because they're there. You just have to spend some time. I mean, I just spent 15 minutes really thinking about this and have a better understanding of problem solving than I did before I embarked on recording this episode. So take some time, make some notes, and have some fun thinking about the problems that you're solving for your clients. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Not only do I love talking about curiosity, but I love writing about it too. So be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Every Monday, I share thoughts about what I'm learning and what's blowing my mind, as well as spotlight a creative professional you might not know. I also share short guides about curiosity, documentary filmmaking, as well as sneak peeks of projects that I'm working on. You can sign up today at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/231. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.